Accession number 12824, Mr. G. Forster, Reel 1.
Mr. Forster, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Forster?
I was born at 44 Annock Road, South Shields. The 9th of July, 1920.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a joiner in the shipyard.
And how many of you were there in the family?
Three male and one female, plus mum and dad.
And what kind of a childhood did you have? Were you comfortably brought up, or was it
hard? Yes, very comfortable.
Was your dad in regular employment?
Yes.
And
he was.
What about your education?
Well, went to ordinary elementary school.
Which one?
Stanhope Road School, which was burned down. And then we had to go to Clayden School to finish our schooling off.
And how did you do at school?
Well, so reasonably well.
Were you interested in any subject in particular?
Football.
You weren't academic then?
Not really.
And when you came up to leaving school, what were you planning to do, or what was your father thinking of and for you to do?
Well, at first, when I left school, I tried to go to sea. In fact, I got a job going to sea on a whaler, but my parents disagreed, and that fell through.
What made you want to go to sea?
Well, my grandfather was a seaman, and my uncles and cousins, they all went to sea in the Merchant Navy, etc.
But not your dad?
But not my dad, no.
And why were your parents so against it? Because it was a job?
Well, they just didn't like the idea of me going to sea.
So what did you do instead?
First of all, when I left school, I went to work for a motor engineer in Fowler Street, South Shields.
Doing what?
General repairing motorcycles, mostly.
You'd left at 14?
Left at 15.
15, so that would be 1935?
Yes.
And how long did you do that for?
About a year or 18 months.
And then what?
Then I got a job working for a firm of property repairers, Ainsley and Son, of South Shields.
What house?
Joiner, apprentice joiner.
Now, your dad had been a joiner. Had he encouraged you into that? Or
well, my brother was a joiner also.
So, you just felt that was the thing to do?
Well, that's right, yes. Well, there wasn't much work. There was very little work in it. I was pretty fortunate to get a job.
You were apprentice, so did you get paid, or what were the terms?
I got paid, yes, about 7 and 6 a week. It was a 44. You worked on a Saturday morning. That was in those days.
And what were you actually doing?
Probably repairing, fitting doors, and window frames, and all sorts of and boarding up windows because. For bomb damage and things like that.
But before the war, you were doing it right up to the war.
That's right, right up to the war.
Were you outside of that? I mean, what were your interests? You said football. Did you play for any local teams?
Well, I used to play football for the local team, yes.
Were you any good, or just an interest?
Just so.
And what about any of the boys' organisations? Had you been in the Boy Scouts or Boys' Scouts, anything like that?
I've been in the Sea Scouts. I was in the Sea Scouts at South Shields.
What did you do with them? What were their
Well, we used to go to camp, and not a lot of activity actually, because there was nobody had any money to camp or anything like that. It was difficult.
Were you affected a lot by the depression in the 30s in your hometown area? How bad was it?
It was very, very bad. There was quite a lot of unemployment. In fact, there weren't many jobs around for young boys, or men as far as that goes. Quite a lot of those queues on the door because the shipyards were closing down on the town.
Were your family political at all?
No, not at all, no.
Religious?
Yes, my parents used to go to church.
But what about you?
Yes, I was a choir boy.
Which religion was it?
CV.
Now, you had a regular job up to the war. I mean, when you were 18 and 38, I mean, and with the Munich crisis and everything else going on, were you aware of what was going on in Germany and the threat of war yourself?
Well, yes, it was on the news, and quite a lot of chaps that I used to go around with, they joined the Territorial Army, and they were away quick as lightning, for Dunkirk and things like that. 1940.
Before the war, did you ever think, I mean, you'd be just old enough, did you ever think of joining the Territorials?
No.
Was there any reason why not?
I just didn't have an inclination to join.
Had your father been in the army?
My dad had been in the army. He was in the Royal Engineers in the First World War.
Did he ever tell you anything about it, or did his experiences affect you at all?
No, he never said very much about the First World War. He got wounded a couple of times, I think, in the Somme, but he used to say a lot.
He didn't put you off?
Oh, no.
So, what happened? Did you remember the day war broke out?
I do that.
What happened to you?
Well, the day the war broke out, it was a Sunday morning. And just the sirens went. And I went, this is funny really, I went downstairs and we lived in flats. And I went down into the street, and there was quite a lot of people with the gas masks on, respirators on. I mean, nobody knew what to do or anything like that, And all had the respirators on, walking around in the street.
Was there any panic at all?
Well, a lot of worry, yes.
But not
into panic? No, no.
And anything else about that day? Were people pleased? How did people
react? No. Far from it. The people were just sorting the things out, getting ready for... Air raid shelters were being built as fast as they could.
Now, how was your job affected by the war? I mean, you were in property repairs.
That's right.
Did you have anything to do with erecting shelters or helping to erect shelters?
No, not at all. No, the only thing we did was when he started bombing the Tyneside, we used to board the windows up, etc. Do all the windows and putting plywood up and boarding up.
That would be of houses that had been bombed out, would it?
That's correct, yeah.
Would you do any house repairs, or was it just boarding?
Oh no, we were doing other work as well. Roofs and doors and flooring and things like that.
When there was some bomb damage, would it be a private job, or were you directed by the sort of council or something?
Well, they were directed from the council. The boss was, as far as I know.
So it wasn't the firm was directed.
The firm was directed.
Were they paid? Were they contracted?
Oh yes, they must have been paid. Yes.
Was it hard work?
Well, it was long hours and tedious job, because you had to carry on and finish the job you were doing that night, because there was no glass about, and people were people wanted the windows boarding up so they stopped the cold air coming in and that.
Any stories you remember from that bombing period?
Yes, funny enough, I remember one night at South Shields, I was fire watching, and down in, right near the town hall, and the Germans came over, the machine guns going and ACAC going, and you could hear the bombs going. And next morning, when I went down into the town in daylight, they're all talking, and there was one of these big concrete air raid shelters stuck up on the roof. It had blown completely, and the people were still in, all right. On Myland Road, I actually saw that, yes.
You mentioned fire watching. That was extra, that wasn't work.
No. Well, every firm had to have fire watches. In those days, on the premises. On the premises where you worked.
That would be just at night, would it?
At night time. They used to pay you about 3 shilling a night or something to sit there all night. And
where were you? On the roof? Where would the watch be?
Well, inside the building. Anywhere. But as soon as the sirens went, you're outside just patrolling around to see that no incendiaries dropped and what have you.
And what if there had been incendiaries? Were you meant to actually attempt to put them out or were
call
out?
Oh, yes. We had all the necessary, sand buckets and things like that, for throwing on incendiaries.
Did you have any sort of water pumps?
Stirrup pumps, yes. The firm had 2 stirrup pumps.
So you were meant to, in the first instance...
As a fireman.
And what if it got out of hand then?
Well, the fire service were about big. It was an industrial place where we were, and there was another firm next door. There was about 4 firms actually, and one would help the other, obviously.
Would each of the firms though have their own fire watches?
Oh yes, every firm.
Were there two of you on and
no? No, one.
Just one.
Only one person.
So how often would you do it a week or?
I think it used to work out about one night a week. One night a week it worked out at.
So that was your basic routine once the bombing started. You'd be all day working hard, and then one night a week you'd be on fire
watch. On fire watch, yeah.
Any other changes in what you were doing caused by the war?
No, I don't think so, no.
Did you think of joining the territorials or anything then, or joining up, because you'd be old enough?
Yes, I went to join the Territorial Army because my mates went.
When was that?
I should imagine about 1940. Just after the war was declared, I think, about 1940. And
so before Dunkirk then?
Oh yes, yes. Just before Dunkirk actually, because they went to Dunkirk. And they just rejected me and told me to...
Why were you rejected?
Because they said it was war work.
The boarding up.
That's right. And
did you have a proper exemption certificate or did they just make their own minds
up? They just made their own minds up.
And which regiment did you try to join? It would be the Durham, would it?
No, it was actually it was the Royal Artillery. That was stationed at the Bolingbroke Drill Hall at South Shields.
And that's who your friends had joined?
And that's where they joined.
Had you fancied the artillery more than the infantry, or was that just your local unit?
Well, it was just a local unit.
Were you disappointed when they rejected you?
Yes, I was. I mean, what did it look like? All your friends going, and you're still stuck at home.
I mean, was there any sort of criticism of you? Did they have any of this daft white feather business?
No. They knew eventually that you're going to get called up. So
it was just you that felt a bit of...
That's right, yeah.
...wrong about it.
Obviously, yeah.
So When it? How did you come to get called up? Because you were called up eventually.
I was called. I went for my medical in 1941.
And what was that like? What happened at the
medical? Went to Newcastle at the medical, and they give you a thorough medical. And I was past day one.
It was a proper medical?
Oh, yes, it was a military medical.
Was that at Fenn and Barrett's?
Yes, it was, actually, yeah.
And you passed day one?
Then I got, after about four months or something, got a paper to say I had to join the... it was a reconnaissance, actually. And then a few days later, I got another one to say cancel it. And then I got a one just before Christmas to say I had to report on the 8th of January, 1942.
And where were you to go?
Hollis, Lochmaben. Hollis Camp, Lochmaben Reconnaissance Corps.
And how do you spell Maben? Sorry,
Lochmaben.
Now, why the reconnaissance corps? Had you been given any choice at all about it?
Well, when you went for your medical, asked you what you wanted to be, and I said I wanted to join the Navy. And, and that was it. As far as I knew, I was going in the Navy.
And that was your old interest in the sea?
That's right. And then I got my paper saying it was the Army, which thousands of other chaps did the same.
Why the reconnaissance corps, though? Why not just your local regiment? I mean,
the reconnaissance corps were just starting up. It was a virtually new regiment.
So there was a big push on recruiting people, taking people
to them. That's correct.
Did you mind you hadn't gone in the Navy?
There's nothing I could do. Afterwards, when you heard on the news about this ship being sunk and that ship being sunk, I thought, well, I'm better on land than at sea.
Now, what about your family? How did they react when you had to go?
Well, my sister was in the Wrens. Both my brothers were in the Army.
What about your mother?
Well, there's not much you could do, is there? Not really.
So they just accepted it?
Yes, I was the first one to go. And then my younger brother, the brother next to me, he went in the Royal Artillery and got killed. My elder brother, he was Corporal Cook at London, at one of the camps in somewhere near Dover, actually. And my sister was in the Wrens at Scapa Flow.
So you were to go to Hollis Camp. Were you given a warrant?
They give you a warrant and a shilling.
And what were you told to take with you?
Take your civilian clothes. And a change of underclothes, socks, etc. And that was it. And they said you would get your uniform after a couple of days.
So the journey, was there anything special about the journey up?
No, I was Mr. Forster till I got to Hollis, till I got to Lochmaben. And then as soon as we got on the army lorry, the transporter lorry, it was, hey, you. That was it.
You were a private soldier.
That's right. Yes.
And what did you think of your reception? Were you treated, the first couple of days when you're going into army life? What were your initial impressions?
Well, for a start, when it was in 1942. It was very, very wet in this place. There was tanks and Brent carriers and that. And the mud was about 18 inches deep. And we just had civilian shoes on and civilian clothes and were in a right state. And after about 3 days or 4 days, after we'd had another medical, all our injections, everything.
Now, why another medical? Was it any different from the previous medical?
Well, it was, I suppose, just for the regiment. The regimental medical officer, they just give you a cough and what have you, sort of thing.
Was it as thorough as the other one?
Oh, no, no, no. No way.
And you mentioned the injections. What injections were they giving?
Well, they give you TB and whatever. It's all the necessary injections.
And so that was the medical side. Where were you billeted or put?
We were in Nissen Huts. We're in Nissen Huts at Hallease in Scotland, and. All the places, accommodation was Nissen Huts there. As I say, it was a new camp.
And how many would there be to a hut?
About 30.
And would they all be?
They're all recruits.
Like yourself, recruits, yeah.
They're all new recruits coming in, yeah.
And would there be an NCO in the room with you?
There was an NCO's bunk at the end, yes. He was. Staff, I suppose, reconnaissance corps staff.
He was one of the people.
He was in charge of a lot of us.
And what were the beds like?
I mean, very uncomfortable.
In what way?
Well, you had palliasses. You had palliasses.
And the old straw ones.
The old straw palliasses. You filled them up with straw. You know, the palliasses, and that was it.
What about blankets, sheets?
They give you, I think it was. Three blankets they give you, no sheets, no chance.
And what about heating? Because it's the middle of winter.
Heating, we had the big stove in the centre of the Nissen Hut. And in the during the day, everybody was out training. So there was no chance of having a fire on. And in the evening, they used to give you one bucket of coal. To last you all night.
I presume it didn't.
It did not, no. It was burnt out by about 8 o'clock.
So it'd be quite cold.
Well, it was very cold, yeah.
Now, what about the issue of the uniform? How long did that take?
About 4 days.
And what do you remember of the issue of uniform? I mean, how did they go about it?
Well, first of all, were paraded and went through a long dining room, and they just looked at you and says, so-and-so, and they throw you a battle dress, and what size boots did they take? I says, size 7.5. He says, I've only got 9s, they'll do. And that when I, and as I say, when I came back from Hollis and went home, my great coat was down to my ankles. My battle dress was 3 sizes too big. And
how did you put the? I mean, you can't walk about in like that for long.
No, well, my mum was a tailoress, so she took them off me and altered the lot.
So the army didn't do anything to sort it out.
Oh no, no, they hadn't got anything.
What about the boots? I mean, how did you cope with that?
Best I could. Feet used to wobble about in the boots, you know, and make your feet sore, especially on marches.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Was there anything?
Put two pair of socks on most of the times, because they didn't have any. They didn't have any change of shoes. You know, you got two pair of shoes and boots, and that was it.
What else did they? They gave you battle dress, boots. What else?
Battle dress, boots, gaiters, forage cap. Underclothes, 2 sets of underclothes of each, you know. Mess tin.
Did you get a housewife?
A housewife, yes, got a lot. Great coat, as I say. And that was about it.
Now, what were you got there. What were your impressions of, how did you get on with your fellow recruits? I mean, were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or even the same area of the country? What were they like?
you couldn't tell really, because some of them were from London. They're from all over the territory, you know, all over England.
A complete scattering.
That's right, a scattering of everybody.
Was there anyone else from your hometown?
Yes, there was two from South Shields went with me on that call up. Which, needless to say, I've never seen them since.
How did you mix together? I mean, was there any? I mean, sometimes the army can be quite rough. Was there any bullying?
Well, yes. Drill sergeants, etc., etc. You know, the usual thing is
amongst yourselves.
No.
So
everybody seemed to, you know, when.
So you got on.
We got on very good. Yeah.
Right. Now, what about a typical day's training? What time would the day start? I mean, when you got going, I mean, what time would the day start?
Just to get you up about 7:15 for a muster parade.
Will you get washed and dressed before?
They used to get you up, then you went outside, everybody outside. That was to make sure you got out of bed. And then you came back in. And went and had a wash and a shave in cold water. There was no hot water on the place, none at all. And come back and have your breakfast. Get your mess tin and go to the dining hall, get your breakfast.
Now, what type of thing would the dole out for breakfast?
I know we used to get a slice and a half of bread. Probably beans and a small portion of bacon if you were lucky, you know, and things like that.
What's your impression? I mean, it's difficult to be precise about breakfast.
That's right.
50 years ago. But was the food reasonable?
It was.
I mean, how did it compare to what you were used to?
Crikey. You couldn't compare it with it. It was pig's will, really.
Was it bad food?
It was
badly prepared.
Badly prepared. And we found out that there wasn't enough of what they give you. The food they give you wasn't enough for what they said it was. Obviously, they knew better. It was to get your weight off and get you fit.
And you say it was badly prepared. In what way? I mean, what was wrong with it?
Well, a lot of it wasn't properly cooked and that. And when you went in the mess hall, they just...
So the presentation.
The
presentation.
That's terrible.
What about the actual ingredients? I mean, if it had been well cooked and properly presented, would it have been all right, or was it poor quality bacon to start with, for instance?
Well, it was poor quality actually.
So all round.
All round was bad. Disgusting.
Could you eat it yourself, or did you?
Well, you had to, or else starve. I know we used to spend a lot of time in the Naffy. Or in the Tokich or whatever it was, and buying.
I'll come back to that because our
food yourself to supplement it.
So you started off with breakfast. Would you get tea with your breakfast?
Yes, you got a mug of tea with your breakfast.
They talk about army tea. I mean, was army tea different from what you'd been used to at home?
Oh, crikey, yes.
What was special about army tea then?
Well, it was stewed. They used to make it about 7 o'clock and warm it up for you.
Was it very sweet compared to how you'd known?
No, not really, no.
So again, it was...
There was only a sergeant major had sweet tea.
Did you like it stewed, or would you prefer it normal?
Normal, not stewed, no.
So after breakfast, what then?
After breakfast, you went on... it all depends what was on the company orders. Probably PT, physical training.
And what type of PT did you do?
Right, all sorts of PT. Running, all the usual exercises to get you fit. The snow was outside the camp. The snow and slush was about 18 inches deep, and you had sandals on, shorts, and PT kit actually, and that was it. And you went on running, and if it was really bad, it got very bad after 3 weeks. We went into the one of the big hangars, the big places, and Larry Gaines was the boxer was our physical instructor there at Hallis, and he put you through it.